Com.
I'm not a bad guy. I'm not a good guy. I'm the guy.
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw post show.
This is Monday Night Raw. The bus is taking over.
Featuring Sir Rockin'.
If I were to apply to you now on this concrete, a perfectly executed inside cradle, commonly known as a small package, how long do you think it would take you to escape?
You would never escape a perfectly executed small package. 99% of the time, a small package, when applied expertly by an expert wrestler like myself, always works.
And Lindsay Ward, we're scared.
I mean, I would be too. You're looking at the baddest diva in the WWE. You're going to find out why I am the boss.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw. Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Do you see this? This is the Kevin Owens Show!
Monday Night Raw kicked off with a legit boss, and that's how we kick off the Raw Post Show live across the airwaves of Wild Talk Radio Network at wildtalkradio.com, gerwick.net, presented by Wrestling Figure Wednesday. Go to youtube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. She is Lindsay Ward, and I am Sir Rockin.
You know what? Raw just needs to kick off every week with Sasha. Just, the boss is here, the boss is in town, she's taken over, Raw is hers now, Raw is the boss.
She talked about stealing the show last year in Brooklyn, and, you know, we'll do the same this year at SummerSlam in Brooklyn when she beats Charlotte, who then came to the ring. And Sasha asked Charlotte if she's mad, and, you know, because she looks a lot different, because, you know, she wears her gold. And she made her tap out, the fans were chanting, "You tapped out," and where was Dana? And Charlotte says she doesn't need Dana or her father to beat Sasha, and she will do it at SummerSlam, she'll beat Sasha all by herself. And she reminds everyone that she was the very best for over 300 days, and you can capitalize on one mistake. And Charlotte called her, you know, said, "It's one thing to take home the Prom King, but then it takes another to put a ring on his finger." And then Charlotte called Sasha a one-night stand. And Sasha pointed out Charlotte is the daughter of Ric Flair, and if it wasn't for a one-night stand, Charlotte wouldn't even be here.
Somebody get some ice. Charlotte needs some ice for that burn. Holy crap.
But Lindsay, quiet, because Jericho came out and told us to be quiet. And that's what people did, and then they booed him. And he called Sasha a disrespectful little punk. He said he was minding his own business when he heard talking to Charlotte like that. And Charlotte is royalty. She's Ric Flair's daughter. But she's outdone anything Ric Flair has ever done. And it's like, who has Ric Flair ever beaten? It's like, he's beating you, Chris, at SummerSlam.
Ric Flair has beaten everybody.
I know. Chris then wondered what makes her a boss. He says Sasha looks as a boss with the purple hair, teeny bopper idiots. Maybe you're a boss because you somehow related to Snoop Dogg. Is it Puff Daddy or Vanilla Ice this week? And then we got the interesting moment of the night when Enzo Amore decided to show up, and he asked Sasha Banks, "How you doing?" And he says there are times when he likes to do things on his own, and he's a certified G, and Sasha's a boss, and he says he has the hot sauce, and said he would like to do some business with her, and he suggests a certified G deposit in her bank.
This is not PG, y'all. This is not PG.
Not PG whatsoever. And then he went back and forth with, "How you doing? How you doing? How you doing?" And Charlotte tells Sasha to go for it. And there's one word to describe Enzo's love life. And then Chris Jericho is about to mock the soft, which was great. Enzo says it's like passing kidney stone listening to Chris Jericho. Jericho tells the hip-hop hobbit one time he better watch it. Enzo wants to know what he should watch, and Jericho says, "It." Enzo says for him to think before he speaks is like wiping his butt before he poops. He tells Bon Jovi this is life and this isn't DirecTV commercial, and he does not have the power to turn back time. If he could, he would turn back time to stop Jericho from buying that scarf. They rambled on more. Mick Foley came out, he made some puns, and then booked Enzo and Sasha versus Charlotte and Jericho tonight.
I'm okay with this. I'm 100% on board with this. This is fantastic.
The Enzo and Sasha flirting was great.
It was hilarious, actually, because she was, like, kind of disgusted at first, and then she's like, all right, you want to go there? Okay, we can do this. Although we're all sitting here going, where's Cass?
We'll get to Cass in a bit. So they had a solid matchup off for good stuff. Enzo and Jericho had some really good moments. Dana Brooke came out, interfered, caused a distraction. Sasha would then slap Jericho, but then Charlotte attacked Sasha from behind to hit natural selection. Jericho and Charlotte win. After the match, Jericho hit the codebreaker on Enzo. Cassidy makes his way to the ring for the save. And then Jericho leaves with Charlotte and Dana. Now, that's where Cass played in. Should mention, on commentary, wearing Byron Saxton's tie was Kevin Owens.
Bless Kevin Owens. Bless him. Everything.
The things that I liked in this one. The first 37 minutes of the show. You featured new people, sans Jericho, which was great. You got all the... You got Kevin Owens, Enzo Amore, Sasha Banks, and Charlotte out there. And then Cass at the end. But you were showcasing different people to start off your show. And it's the people you're going to be building around for the next 10 years. Which was smart.
Agreed.
It was great booking in this one. I thought that was all around well done. We then had Braun Strowman destroy Evan Anderhold, who was doing this because he got paid $1,000. And if he wins, he gets $5,000.
And then Braun proceeded to chuck him like a human football across the ring.
Yep.
A grown man. A grown, probably 200-pound man, give or take.
Maybe about 160, 170.
Picked him up and hurled him like a football. It was hella impressive. I'm just not even going to lie. The hair is still incredibly unfortunate. He has like this one little itty-bitty tiny braid. It's in a really awkward spot. It's almost like his "I love you, Dad. See, I have a dread just like you."
LeMans and Sharon goes, "This reminds me of the first Spider-Man when Toby fighting the Cage match with Savage for the money." Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that's exactly what this is.
That's exactly what it is. And it will continue to be for a while on Monday Night Raw.
But he had the extension back in.
He did have the extension back in. It's a TV extension. House shows, not so much. It's a lot of work.
Actually, I think it stays in. He just, like, buns it up.
Maybe. Who knows? Anyway, Mark Henry was backstage. He's being the WWE ambassador in the Rio Olympics. Don't put your head underwater. But he has his creative juices flowing, and he's made some renovations in the Hall of Fame, and wants a grand reopening. And Steph and Foley were like, "We want you to be a mentor." And he doesn't want that. So Mick Foley makes, "Well, you get Rusev tonight for the U.S. title." And he's going to win it because that's what he does. Sadly to say, Mark Henry lost.
Go, Rusev. Go.
Rusev crush. Gotta mention, congratulations to Lana and Rusev, as Lana was wearing a version of a wedding dress tonight on Raw.
Complete with tiara. I think she was wearing the high-low dress that she wore for the rehearsals.
Possibly. Anyway, we'll talk more about that Thursday on the Rack, 10 p.m. Eastern. Goldust and R-Truth lost to Pokemon Go, which is basically what happened to Primo and Epico. The Shining Stars, because R-Truth couldn't stop playing Pokemon Go.
Put it down, man. Put it down. Just walk away.
And the funny thing is, Goldust is more addicted to it than R-Truth is in real life.
I could see that. Still, put it down and just walk away.
Yes. All right. So, yeah, because I wasn't really going to that point, but I'll go there now because LeMans brought it up. Because it was Rusev and Mark Henry for the U.S. title, which Rusev won and crushed Mark Henry's dreams. After the match, Mark Henry ran down the Olympic Committee and, you know, how they suspended the Russians and the Bulgarians so the Americans can win. There's no man that can take the U.S. title away from him. He is a super athlete and a natural-born winner. Then came Roman Reigns. To a mixed reaction from the capacity crowd on hand, Roman got in the face of Rusev. They exchanged some words. They had a fight. And a Superman punch on the outside left Rusev laying.
I don't mean this in a negative way, even though people will take it negative, but it's kind of interesting to see how much Roman's stock has dropped. He's landing on Rusev and the U.S. title, which isn't bad for him. I think it would actually be a good feud for him. Let him feud for a title. It gets him out of the main picture for a while and allows Finn and Seth and all of them to do their thing. And gives Roman a nice, stable base to sort of compete for. Where he's still in the limelight, but he's not the limelight, if that makes sense.
Makes sense. He's in a high-profile feud, but he's not in the main event feud.
So I think this will be good for him. I think this will be good for Rusev, but it is interesting to see how much his stock has fallen since coming back.
They should be a good matchup together at SummerSlam.
Yes.
Finn and Seth Rollins went back and forth in the ring. Seth Rollins talked about them being the man of many firsts, including the first ever NXT champion and the first number one overall draft pick. But Finn says he won't be the first ever Universal Champion because that's what he will become. They went back and forth. They exchanged some lines. Seth Rollins took shots at the Braves. Then they did the tomahawk chop back at Seth Rollins.
Because we're idiots. It was in Atlanta. We're idiots. Our team sucks. We acknowledge that.
Baylor,
but they still managed to beat the Phillies this weekend.
And the Phillies managed to beat the Braves, too. It was like WWE was booking it. It was 50-50.
How about that?
Seth Rollins says to Finn that you've never faced anyone like me. He's stronger, faster, and the most resilient in the industry. If you want an idea, go to WWE Network and watch the sweet special on him. Or maybe you can watch when I beat Sami Zayn and make an example out of him tonight. Finn says there's one thing that is different about them. Finn says he's earned his title match while Seth Rollins had it handed to him. Seth said he's never had anything handed to him in his life. He will be handed the Universal title when he beats Finn. Finn says the only thing Seth will have handed to him is his ass. Rollins went for a punch. Finn blocked it. Pele kick. Seth Rollins bails up the ramp. Good segment.
Great segment. Did exactly what it needed to do. Seth, you better watch yourself. The demon's coming for you, son.
Then this is where the show sort of took a hit.
Yeah.
Darren Young versus Titus O'Neil.
Which this was not a bad match. I don't mean that, we don't mean that in a negative sense that it took a hit. It was you had a really strong opening first hour and a half of the show, and then it just sort of had that dip in it that we've come to know on Monday Night Raw, where in the middle of the second hour, it just kind of sort of goes whoop and sort of comes down a little bit. And stays that way until about halfway into the third.
With the hook of a tights, Titus O'Neil beats Darren Young. They were backstage, and Bob and Titus were yelling at one another, and Darren clocked Titus for yelling at Bob.
They were not happy with each other.
Yeah. Stephanie was backstage, giving Mick Foley a tablet instead of using, a clipboard. Has some Raw sticker on it and everything. Sheamus wanted to know what's going on. He wanted to know why Mark Henry got a title shot. He's a four-time champion. Cesaro stops by and says, the people in the Cesaro section do not want to see him. Stephanie says has seen enough, and she mentions that they both wanted to go to SmackDown. Foley says Cesaro was a top five pick, but when his medical records hurt his draft position. That really sounds like the NFL. Foley says he knows how tough Sheamus is. Instead of channeling your frustration against him, him and Stephanie do it in a ring, and whoever impresses the most earns a future title match. So we'll get to that matchup here in a bit. Nia Jax had a match with Ariel Monroe.
Nia won.
Best way to put that one. Nia won.
It's good for her to have squash matches. I really enjoy the fact that they're trying to get her over as a monster. They're making her look as badass as possible. The only thing I didn't like about this was when they went, as a former plus-size model, no.
Yeah, that.
No. Don't mention that about her.
No.
Until later. When you're initially trying to get her over, it makes her less intimidating of, oh, she was a former plus-size model. Which, there's nothing wrong with her being a former model, but it's when you're trying to get her over as this badass, murdering
heel. If the idea is to get away from being divas and you're using the phrase model.
Yeah, it doesn't give the perception that you want.
Man's distant charm. Can we confirm that the demon will be at SummerSlam? Alright, because he thinks that they hope they don't take the gimmick away because it's too scary for the kids. Here's my thoughts on this. I wouldn't bring the demon to SummerSlam. For the reason, make it special, make it meaningful when the demon shows up. There's no reason for Finn Balor to be the demon at SummerSlam other than it's just him being the demon. He should be pushed to the edge for the demon to come out, if that makes sense.
I agree with that, but I think they see the money in the demon. I think, and a fair amount of people know about the demon or have heard about it through other people that have the network. So I think there's the knowledge that the demon is out there. But I would love to see Balor hold it back really until WrestleMania, and then he debuts the demon at Mania, and you do the full entrance and everything, which would be spectacular. But I think they're going to go ahead and do it just for the marketing standpoint of the demon and all the merch that they can put out there for it, because they obviously want to strike while the iron is hot on Finn Balor. He's the biggest thing that they've got going on right now, aside from AJ Styles. So they want to get him going. They want to make sure they get as much as they can out of him on this initial run. So it's probably, I would say, 50-50 on whether the demon's going to show up. It would not surprise me if they debut it at SummerSlam.
So Tom Slouching Phillips was backstage talking to Sami Zayn about his matchup with Seth Rollins. He's battled Seth for years, and his one weakness is that he has a big mouth. Sami says that everyone can saw what he did to Kevin Owens' background. He has closed that part of his career. Says he will prove it himself to Seth Rollins tonight. New Day was backstage, and they were trying to figure out who would wrestle in the matchup tonight by pulling out fruit out of a bag. Two peaches and a banana. Xavier pulled the banana, and he was not able to wrestle. When they took on the club, they did a gesture where they put the peaches together and then the banana together, and we go, that's not PG.
New Day and PG, what?
They told you to go buy the cereal, which is $12.99, and all that fun stuff. So Woods was banned. They had a quick matchup. Big E and Kofi won with a roll-up. Gallows and Anderson were laying attack to Big E and Kofi. Xavier made a save, but the club laid out New Day once again. Big E got driven into the post, so his balls, or peaches, were hurting.
To a legendary degree. He had to be taken backstage to the doctor where they were asking him what was wrong, and basically it's PG, they can't say.
They are making the club look very strong, which is a smart move.
Yes.
Sheamus versus Cesaro in a prove it to Stephanie and Mick for a future title match. Cesaro won. It was a solid match. A little disappointed. I figured they would go a little longer and really get into it, but I just could never fully get into this match, if that makes sense.
It was just okay.
They've done better. After the break, they were having a pull-apart brawl because apparently they were still... Sheamus was very upset about losing.
Very, very upset.
So then in the ring, Heath Slater came out with his good buddy, Jinder Mahal. Says he's not their his fault that Raw and SmackDown do not want to sign the biggest free agent today. He wants everyone to put their hands together for one of his best friends, Jinder Mahal. It's the return of, they're not going to break up the band, it's the 2MB. We'll set Raw on fire. Mick Foley came out and said, we have a battle of the band. And they'll compete against each other. Slater says, we don't need a ref. You can't break up the band. You only have one spot, though. Well, winner gets the contract. Slater turned around. Jinder laid him out with a kick. Jinder wins. Jinder has contract. Slater has none. Remember, folks, don't hinder Jinder.
Poor Heath.
Everyone's going to get a job, but Heath Slater.
I just want Bo to walk up to Heath and be like, don't worry, buddy. You'll get it. All you have to do is Bo leave. I want that so bad.
Yeah. Tom Phillips was backstage, sitting down on a stool, talking to Chris Jericho. He asked Chris Jericho if he's a marked man. Chris says Enzo is a marked man. He says Enzo interrupted him when he was talking about his friend Charlie. He says Enzo called him a John Bon Jovi. He takes care of Enzo and his big puppet Cass comes to check on him. And Chris says Enzo will not be doing too good, and Enzo might have someone to watch his back, but so is Chris. Tom asks who. Jericho then ignores it and is like, Jim Mander Luton or Marvin Luton or something like that. And then Kevin Owens walked in and says, I have your back. And then Chris tells Tim that Kevin Owens had his back. See, I told you all along, it was Tim, or Kevin, rather. And his name is Tom Phillips.
Sitting on a stool.
Sami Zayn and Seth Rollins had a good match. Seth Rollins won with the pedigree.
This is a great match. I need more of this. I need more Zayn and Rollins. Just more of it. Just for the contrast of personality alone.
Then we had the ending with Paul Heyman. He came to the ring, introduced the greatest combat sports athlete, the Beast of the Octagon, the Viper Slayer, Brock Lesnar. He said on August 21st from Barclays Center, his client Brock Lesnar will entertain you. Yes, he will entertain you. Brock's form of entertainment is not the same of style of entertainment they try to market and sell in WWE. Brock Lesnar's form of entertainment is politically incorrect and violent, which is not a word he's supposed to say. But he can say it because he's standing next to Brock Lesnar, and he can say any damn word he wants to say. Brock is not here to put his stamp on the new era. He says he doesn't have to step up to the new era. They have to step up to Brock Lesnar. He doesn't have to curry favor with Mick Foley, Stephanie McMahon, Vince McMahon, or anyone in the locker room. And that includes Randy Orton. Brock says, Paul says, asked Brock if he started Randy Orton. He's a third-generation superstar. He is the 12-time champion. He possesses the great equalizer known as the RKO. They say Randy is one RKO away from victory. They say Randy hits an RKO on Brock. Randy will shock the world that the way Brock shocked the world at WrestleMania 30 when he ended the streak of The Undertaker.
Really? Really? We gotta keep bringing that up. Really?
Paul told everyone to get over it.
No! I will not get over it!
Then we brought up the Voices theme song. Yes, we're doing theme song talk. You know, maybe there are voices in his head. Paul asked, how many voices are telling you that Brock Lesnar is going to beat your ass at SummerSlam and drag you to Suplex City? If those voices are not telling you that, those voices are full of malarkey. You know, the vice president could say malarkey, so he can say it. He wants to keep his job. If your voices are telling you that and you're not listening to them, Paul asked Randy to listen to the wise old Jew. Randy Orton is going to beat your ass and drag you to Suplex City. Paul says that they should take the victory out of the equation. Maybe they should talk about survival. Maybe you won't go to the hospital. Maybe you will wrestle again in 2016. But you will not get Brock in the position for the RKO. Which happened out of nowhere. If Randy Orton hit the ring, hit the RKO out of nowhere on Brock Lesnar.
This was fantastic. This is absolutely fantastic. And then you had security come running down after Randy. Randy jumps through the crowd, runs up the stairs through the crowd. It was great. You had Stephanie and Mick coming out like, what the hell? Randy got partially naked at the end because, you know, it's Randy Orton. He either has to be topless or pantsless. Take your pick. And this was just really, really, really well done. I liked how they did this.
You knew they had to do something. If they're putting it on the main event segment, you knew something had to happen. It just couldn't be Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman standing out there. There had to be some sort of physical altercation. So this is the first time since the brand extension a SmackDown Live superstar invaded Monday Night Raw.
Hey, hey, hey.
Could that mean a Beast could be traveling to SmackDown at some point?
It could.
Wouldn't be surprised that going home to SummerSlam, a Beast could show up at SummerSlam, at SmackDown Live.
I'm okay with this.
But overall, this was a pretty good show. Not as great as last week, but they're getting better. It was better than your typical Raw, but it had some slope.
It was better than your typical Raw,
right.
But it was, like you said, not as good as last week, but I think everybody expected it because you can't match up to last week. You just can't. They came out intentionally with a bang, and now I think it's going to be that steady sort of step down to what Raw is supposed to be normally. At least I think so.
We'll have to see what SmackDown Live has in store for us on Tuesday night. But that'll do it for the Raw Post Show live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. This Thursday, though, it's The Rack.
Take yourself off mute. We have news, we have notes, we have NXT, and we have so much more. It's The Rack. Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on WildTalkRadio.com.
Rack Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter, Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play. Go to YouTube.com/Rack Radio Show for 21 days of SummerSlam matches on WWE 2K16. I have some fun. You enjoy it. YouTube.com/Rack Radio Show. Saturday night, midnight edition, CB Radio. The Weird, the Wacky, the Unusual. CB Radio Live, Facebook, Twitter.com. Hashtag Blame Rob with a Celebrity That Eyes. Sunday night, it's Wrestle Talk Radio with Tim Stein, Heartbreak Mike, and the Omega. The new all-time greatest will begin on Sunday night. WrestleTalkRadio.com will be the place to vote. Stay tuned to the Twitters at Wild Talk Radio and facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork for the updated polling information. We'll probably have the list out later in the week. Your turn.
You can follow me on Twitter at LynnsWard, L-A-N-S-W-A-R-D, and go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/LynnsWard, same as the Twitters.
Gerwick.net and Wrestling Figure Wednesday, youtube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs, MBG1211.wordpress.com. We'll see you Thursday night for the Rack. Right back here for the Raw Post Show, 11:10 p.m. Eastern, along the airways of the Wild Talk Radio Network. She's Lindsay, I'm Rock. We'll see you all then, live across the airways at wildtalkradio.com.